Our coverage of You Decide 2024 is presented by Big Fish Roofing. They're the roofers you can trust. Big Fish Roofing.
You go places like Denver, it smells like marijuana. It's not been good for quality of life.
Florida's Amendment 3 would make it legal for adults 21 and older to have up to 3 ounces of marijuana and up to 5 grams of cannabis concentrate. It would also enable them to possess, purchase, and use marijuana products and accessories without needing a medical marijuana card, as is the case now. Our spotlight on You Decide 2024 and Amendment 3 now in focus. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis urging a no vote.
Amendment 3 is being bankrolled by one big weed company that's traded on the Canadian Stock Exchange. They have poured over $100 million into passing this Amendment 3. They're not doing that because they care about the best interests of Florida. They're doing it because they want to make profits.
While Steve Van Cora, spokesperson for True Leave, is pushing approval.
We have the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, strongly supporting it. We have the former chairman of the Republican Party, Joe Gruters, strongly advocating for this thing.
Action News' Jack's Jake Stofan and Dr. Michael Binder, who's the director of the Public Opinion Research Lab at the University of North Florida, is with us. And let's focus again on what polling has shown as early voting began this election cycle. Mike, this one has more support than the abortion amendment overall.
It does, and we've been polling at UNF for years now on recreational marijuana, and it's always been in that kind of high 60s range. And our recent poll has it at 66% approval, 30% opposed, 4% in a don't know. So that don't know number is smaller and that you might expect, because this is a relatively easy choice. Either you're for it or you're against it, and there's not a ton of gray area there. So this is in a much better position heading into election day.
As we heard, Jake, Governor DeSantis against it and saying it's being bankrolled by a company that trades on the Canadian Stock Exchange. How much truth is there in those kinds of messages that come out both for and against these kinds of ballot initiatives?
The truth in it is that True Leave, which is the largest medical marijuana dispensary in Florida, certainly has put the bulk of the money into this campaign. I mean, they were the ones who, you know, drove the funding for the petition gathering operation, and they've, you know, consistently been the biggest donor to this. And you could argue they potentially have the most to gain. The nuance in the idea that this is going to create some sort of monopoly or something like that in the state, that is not really supported by the facts. There's more than 25 authorized medical marijuana companies in the state of Florida, and you know they are going to automatically be able to start dispensing recreational marijuana once that 6 month or so buffer period we spoke about earlier, ends. So there's not just going to be one company that's able to dispense recreational marijuana, and it's within the state legislature's control. And to some degree, the executive branch as well, to authorize additional ones. And the amendment specifically gives them the authority to do so. So, you know, if you want a smaller market with fewer competitors, it's really going to be on state lawmakers to decide, you know, what that landscape looks like. The other argument against Amendment 3 is the idea that, you know, the quality of life is going to be degraded in the state, that the legislature is not going to be able to regulate things like time, place, and manner restrictions. And State Senator Joe Gruters, who we just heard from, he actually sponsored the bill that gave local governments the authority to ban smoking on public beaches in the state. And he, you know, reads this amendment to say, hey, there's no reason why we can't come in with an implementing bill. He's already working on it to set those restrictions so that we're not walking around smelling that smell that we all probably are familiar with.
Well, and the governor has even said it, as he's argued against it, that, you know, he doesn't want Florida streets to smell like pot all the time. Mike, would there likely be at either a state level or a local county level some restrictions put in place? And would that happen if it's approved within that 6 month buffer zone before ultimate implementation, do you think?
Yeah, I would assume yes. We have an entire legislative cycle that can occur, and they can write laws in Tallahassee, pass them. And then, you know, we have local cities across the state that have the ability, that are in session literally all the time, that have the ability to pass something relatively quickly. I don't see that necessarily as an enormous barrier. I think that government, when it wants to act and pass laws, as we've seen in the last couple of cycles in Tallahassee, is pretty active and pretty efficient.
The fiscal impact that's on your ballot says that it has a net positive fiscal impact, though we don't yet know. Have there been credible estimates in terms of how much revenue could come in as a result of this guy?
Well, if you look across other states, it's not as much as one might think, because oftentimes states build up state bureaucracies to deal with this as far as the implementation or the authorization of different producers and shops and sales and all that, and any enforcement arm that goes along with it. But there is always an increase in some sales tax dollars associated with this.
And obviously the revenue generated will depend on what the taxation rate that's set is. So, I mean, you know, you put a 10% tax on the products, you're going to get one amount. If you put a 100% tax on the products, you're going to get a lot more. So, but, you know, the higher you tax it, the more likely it is that somebody may say, you know, I'll keep buying it from my guy down the street because they're able to do it cheaper. So a bit of a balancing act to play there.
Who might Florida model itself after if indeed it is voted in by Florida voters this cycle? Do we model it after another state where we could look and say, oh, it would be very similar to the way that California taxes, for example?
I think it's fair to say California and Colorado will probably not be the examples there. Dr. Binder could probably talk more about some other states that might be.
I mean, if you're looking at taxation rates, California is actually relatively high, but maybe in New Jersey or in New York, I know they're blue states, and that's probably, never would that get admitted. But those states have a taxation rate. But it's also important to consider we do have medicinal marijuana here that isn't taxed. So if you make that number really, really high, it's just going to force more people into the medicinal market that already exists, which in all honesty is almost recreational anyway.
Say more about that.
So think about this, right? The difficulty in getting a medical marijuana card, it's not a high bar. It takes some energy. It takes some ability to navigate a bureaucracy, and it takes money. Well, Florida has a lot of people that are able to do that. And, if you look around the villages, people are passing gummies all over the place. This is not something that is young hippies homeless on the street, stinking up the streets like San Francisco. Marijuana is readily available and accessible here in the state of Florida already.
There's also been the angle and the push by law enforcement, as we've heard it kind of splintering in some cases, depending on perhaps who you represent or your viewpoint on it, where sheriffs and law enforcement have been looking at things from both sides. That seems to be one of the plays that's being made about why are we putting people in jail and prisons for so long for a minor offense in the law?
And if you're talking about tax dollars, right, those are expenditures at the local and state level. When you have people in for possession or minor distribution charges, you remove that and suddenly, now it's easier. That being said, some of the arguments have been it makes it harder to do policing. Well, with alcohol, if you're 18 years old and you're caught driving in a car with an open beer, you got problems, and you're going to jail that night. Same thing if you were to be driving in a car, presumably with a joint lit.
As we think what the results may ultimately look like, and again, the fact that on November 6th, unless it's a no, ultimately it doesn't reach a threshold of 60% plus one and nothing would change, Jake, you would probably follow over the course of the next 6 months or so in the legislative session some moves. And as you've already documented, there are some efforts already underway at the legislative level. I would imagine Northeast Florida gets a voice in that as well.
It's very likely Senator Gruters might lead that effort, though his political power in Tallahassee has been slightly diminished because of some conflicts with Governor DeSantis. I think he was the first state legislator to endorse Donald Trump over DeSantis during the presidential race.
Certainly, so that, vocally, yeah.
That whether he'll be the one leading the effort or State Representative Ralph Masulu has been very active in this space as well. He actually proposed a bill last session that would have preemptively capped the THC levels on recreational marijuana. So I think there is sort of an expectation among state lawmakers that this probably will pass. They will have to deal with it. And I know those conversations are already happening. It's just a question of who gets to lead it. I mean, we got Representative Sam Garrison, who's going to be House Speaker in 2026. So he's obviously got some significant pull in the legislature. And yeah, we got some powerful legislators.
You don't see Angie Nixon leading the charge and being influential in Tallahassee this legislative session.
Vocal, maybe.
I'm going to kind of comment on that. I don't know.
Oh, you've covered politicians too long. I'm going to decline to comment.
I try to stay friends with everybody, right? So I'm not going to
I love Angie. She's great, but I just don't know that her influence in Tallahassee is particularly strong.
No.
How has Trump or might Trump impact Amendment 3?
I mean, I think we're seeing it in our mailboxes. And, you know, he's showing up on TV and mailers as a supporter and endorser of Amendment 3. A world is exceedingly possible where Trump wins the White House, Amendment 3 passes, and now you've got, you know, the continued frenemy, maybe open disdain between DeSantis and Trump continuing on for the next 2 years, which from a political drama standpoint would be quite amusing.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what occurs over the next several days in this election cycle. November 5th is Election Day, the final day to vote in person, if you will. It's last chance voting now that we have such a lengthy cycle of mail-in ballots, and we'll be your source for up-to-the-minute results as the polls close on November 5th at 7 p.m. across most of Florida, 8 p.m. for the rest of the state. Mike Binder, Jake Stofan, thank you for your insight and analysis on Amendments 3 and 4. Again, there are six constitutional amendments. And if you live in St. Johns County, you got two taxing questions. Depending on where else you live, you may have other questions. So sample ballot can be really, really vital this election season. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
9:34 on Jacksonville's Morning News.